Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos, a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are just so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every single Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every single song is a story. Tonight, I'm proud to have Carlos on the show. Carlos is the frontman and songwriter for the C.K. Baker Band, a talented group known for their alternative rock sound. Their recently released sophomore album, Find Your Way, showcases Carlos' exceptional gift for crafting songs that combines elements of classic rock, rhythm and blues, folk and soul. Through his lyrics and captivating vocal delivery, Carlos bears his emotional soul, inviting listeners on a profound journey of self-discovery.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Carlos Baker. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on? Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So tell us about this band, man. You're the front of the band?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been living in Germany for the last 14 years. So at this point, I'm in Chicago right now. So the band is kind of me. It's interesting. I had been this journey only, you know, I'm a 49-year-old dude. So my musical journey, although it started as a kid, me thinking of myself as a real songwriter really only started happening in my mid-30s. So I'm a bit of a late bloomer, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of post, jumping right into it, kind of post battle with depression. In my mid-30s, I fell into a couple-year-long kind of fight for my life with depression showing itself via panic attacks. And yeah, man, once I kind of got through the hard part, which was, you know, admitting I was dealing with issues and getting on meds, and which I don't know how much of that world you know about, but post getting on meds and at least getting somewhat of a baseline normal back, then I had to face all the stuff that comes with depression, which is for me was the emotion of shame, you know, shame that I failed, shame that I, you know, couldn't handle life, shame, all that stuff that in the end, it's not even real, but, and part of my, part of the journey of getting through that was kind of bringing music back into my life, kind of post getting married and having kids and all that stuff. And, yeah, songwriting just, God, it hit me and songs started kind of appearing. And I was capturing them frantically for a few years. It was like, it seemed like every day there was something kind of happening. And I was very, very much listening. You know, I was at that time in life where my wife, we moved to Germany from the Boston area.
Yeah.
And my wife went to work full time and I stayed home with our three young kids in Germany, didn't know the language, was dealing with, you know, with this, you know, kind of battle of mental health, and all along kind of trying to figure out the songwriting thing, which was awesome because it was just happening and I was along for the ride. You know, you're a songwriter, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, for me at this point, I haven't done any, and I may, and everyone has their style, but I haven't sat down and written a song yet. So far, I've only been blessed to just kind of capture stuff that wants to come out. So I feel like there's a little difference there, right? That like those Nashville guys that are in the trenches writing, you know, a song every day. That's totally awesome, and it's a, you know, it's a craft and all that. I just haven't approached it that way yet. So yeah, man, songwriting has been a huge part of my life for the last decade, and certainly a huge part of my kind of emotional healing, because every song, 99% of my songs are about the darkness and about the, you know, the the monster and all the, however you look at sure. that stuff that we have in us, you know?
Yeah. Tell us about your process. How do you come up with a song? Do you play an instrument? Tell the fans a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely non-traditional because I don't really play. I can fake my way around a guitar and I can fake my way around a piano, but I'm really not a chord guy. And I, you know, I taught myself music, so I'm a pretty high level bass player, but I'm, you know, mostly playing by ear, I guess. So then from a lyrical standpoint, it just kind of happens, and the melodies are happening all at the same time. And then I'm crafting on a bass, which is kind of cool, I think. I'll find the melody and the chord changes with single notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then early on, I was asking one particular guy, but early on, I was asking a guitar player, high level guitar player, to then help me translate it into chords. I've since turned to using Cubase or you know, any DAW, but I use Cubase, and using their kind of any of those programs help with chords, just kind of plugging in, you know, basically with a mouse. And kind of crafting that way, which is very odd. You know, recently, last year, when I made this last album, I worked with this wonderful producer, actually out of Chicago. His name is Brian Deck. I don't know if you're familiar with Brian, but
no,
he's one of the last guys remaining from the old kind of the old guard of producers. I'd imagine he's in his 60s now. And I reached out to him. I always liked his work. He worked with Sam Beam from Iron and Wine, and he worked with Counting Crows and a bunch of guys when he was younger. So I reached out to him, and we kind of hit it off. And I brought to him about 12 new songs that I had written when I was here in Chicago visiting a buddy, with no chords. So I brought it to him, nothing written down, me and a bass. And he's like, "All right, play something for me." And I was just playing my tunes, singing them and playing them on a bass. And he was kind of interpreting them on acoustic guitar as we went, you know. And I thought that was a super organic way to approach it, because it allowed he and I to kind of connect immediately, where he was immediately connected to the song and kind of engaged into the process, because I was kind of like letting him have the, you know, I was giving him free rein to kind of help, you know, find the song, which I love that stuff. I love for me, and I don't know if you agree, but for me, the first time you find that first time you play a song through and you're like, that's it. That's where it's going. I love that feeling. That's to [S2] Sure. [S1] Me, that's better than playing on live. It's better than all of it. And I know those days were special for me, and Brian and I became very close, and man, it was the time of my life working with a real producer. And I, to be honest with you, I think when I walked into that studio, I don't even know, I wasn't even sure what a producer, I didn't even know what he was going to do. I didn't know what his role was going to be, but I quickly realized that it was obvious musically he was going to help craft the songs and kind of tweak the lyrics and all that stuff. But the emotion, like the little, almost the therapist side that he was helping me find myself as an artist. He was teaching me lessons I have one of my major issues is self-esteem issues. And he would so often be like, dude, you know, like, stop thinking like that. You're the talent here. You know, you're here today as the talent. You're the songwriter. He would just say things that it would make me feel like he would put me in a place where I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, yeah, I got that. Like one of the first days, he was quite aggressively going at these lyrics that were so personal to me. And he was kind of crossing things out and then writing other words in the paragraphs.
Sure.
And I was like, dude, I'm like, what did I get myself into, man? You know, he's just ripping apart my song, my baby. And at the end of the it was kind of a pre-production session, he was like, okay, let me explain what we just did. I'm telling you that in, you know, these little notes that I put in the paragraphs, this is from a syllable kind of point of view. Is these are the amount of syllables I think that need to fit into this line in order to kind of maximize your melody. You know, there's melodic and then there's kind of syllabic, value to these lines. And his statement was, you know, to be honest with you, these are just filler words. I'm not a songwriter. You're the songwriter. That's not a talent that I have. And I was like, here's a guy, you know, this is a real guy. And he's telling me that I'm the talent and I need to go finish. And it made me feel so, I was like, oh yeah, okay. I think I got this. And I did. Like I went home. I totally trusted the process. Because I do tend to overwrite. I do tend to kind of, because all my songs tend to be story form, I'll kind of jam in a bunch of words, you know?
Yeah.
And he quickly taught me, like, you're giving so much to your listener. You know, you want to just give enough to the listener to let them fill in the blanks of the story. You don't have to tell them everything, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's really important.
Right. Yeah. Those were the lessons. And as we were going through this pre-production process, I found myself so incredibly creative. So more songs were, you know, as I went home to do this homework, more songs were coming out. And then I'd come back, you know, the next 3 days later or whatever. And I'd be like, hey man, I know this is not the right time, because you made it clear that we picked the 12 songs we're going to work with, but you know, and I'd bring him these new songs and he'd be like, okay, yeah. This is a good song. Now we got to choose. We're going to get rid of one of the other 12. And because I think the new stuff that I was writing was more, was just smarter, right? It took into consideration the stuff that he was telling me. It quickly kind of, hit its mark, and, it was great, man. I can't say enough about it was expensive, but it was a great experience.
Personally, I've been in the same boat where when I first started 10 years ago, it was very wordy and you're trying to cram all this information. So it's good that you found someone that can help you hone in on it, because then you learn from that too. So that's part of the process. I'm glad some people never learn that. So it's good that you learned it, because there's people that spend 10, 20 years doing the same thing over and over, wondering why they're not going anywhere. But that's great, man.
Yeah. And it to other people's defense, people had told me that before. But, you know, it's different when friends and family are like, dude, this song, you know, it's pretty, you know, packed with words. And I'm like, yeah, that's my style. You know?
But
when someone that I had made the decision to spend the money, I had, you know, kind of talked them into working with me, and it was different. I was really, again, using that same phrase, I was really trusting the process. I had said to myself, I'm going to listen to him. He's going to make a great album for me. And, in the end, that's what I got out of it.
Yeah.
I got out of an album that I couldn't be more proud of. And I certainly, it was, you know, every day I came home, I tend to be like that anyway, but I came just home on cloud nine. I was like, that was the greatest, you know, 4-hour pre-production experience of my life. We did that for about 2 months. So,
cool.
Yeah, it was great, man.
All right, man. I'll tell you what, let's take a listen to your song and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more, okay?
Let's do it.
All right, guys, check this out. Here we go.
Ill-prepared for this particular hard days. life lesson. I never fear the great unknown and what tomorrow brings. Finding it hard to make my way with no sense of direction. Seems to me odd, it wasn't supposed to be this way. Give my all and keep on giving. I give and I give, but the world takes it all for free. I give and I give, can't give no more and keep on living. Give it up on me.
Okay, man, thank you for sharing that with us. Cool song. What does that song mean to you? Like, give us a little half a minute blurb on that. What inspired it?
Ill Prepared. That is half a minute. When I, up until I was 28 years old, when I finally settled down, you know, and got married and started having kids and got a real job and bought a house and had a mortgage. Up until then, I had really lived a life of kind of as a free spirit, for lack of a better term, you know, never taking life seriously. I had a challenging childhood in that I faced childhood cancer when I was a kid, when I was 12, and lost my leg to the middle of my thigh when I was 12, 13, 14.
Oh, man.
So I was able to beat the cancer, luckily, which I had a 0% chance of surviving because it was osteosarcoma and it spread to both my lungs. And I was just, you know, super lucky that for some reason I went into remission and the rest is history. So up until I was 28, I just kind of lived. I didn't take life very seriously. And whether that was my personality type to begin with or whether that was as a result of, you know, facing that challenge at a young age or a combination of the two. When I did get married and start having children, I just couldn't handle I couldn't become a real adult, you know, I just couldn't handle it. And that's kind of ultimately what threw me into that depression. And when I was coming out of it and started writing, Ill-Prepared is just the opening line is I'm ill-prepared for this particular hard day's life lesson because I just couldn't handle real life, you know? And in the end, that's what the song's about. It's actually one of the first songs I've ever written. It's probably the song that it means the most to me because it is one of the first, if not the first song I ever wrote. It's one of the first good songs I think that I wrote where I was like, oh, you know, maybe I have something there. And I love that song so much.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit about where can people buy your stuff, stream it? Where can they hook up with you on social media?
Yeah, I'm on all the typical places. So Insta and Facebook and all that stuff. I used CD Baby, I guess, like so many people do. So I'm streaming everywhere that you can listen to music. And I got a handful of gigs booked here in Chicago. I'm going to be here until the end of this year, trying to dig up enough money to make another album with Brian here in Chicago while I'm here. Go and listen to some of my music. It's a CK Baker Band. It's Find Your Way. And man, I love the album and I hope you guys like it too.
All right. Tell us about a book that you hated that everybody else loved.
That I hated? Oh man. Well, I'm a reader. I've read many, many books. A book that I hated that everyone else loved. Let's see. You may have gotten me on that one, man. I can tell you a book that I love and have read at least 10 times through.
Sure.
It's by Larry McMurtry. It's called Lonesome Dove. And if you ever want to get lost in a world of, in a man's world, it's about these, two old Texas Rangers that decide towards the end of their lives to drive 3,000 head of cattle from Texas to Montana. And it's the adventure that happens in between. And when I was in my darkest places, I read that book over and over. And it was one of the ways I got through. It was, I escaped with these guys that became, you know, in a strange way, they became my best buds for a couple of years. And man, I love that book. Larry McMurtry, who we lost just a couple of years ago in his 80s. And it's called Lonesome Dove. Highly recommend it.
Okay. Last question for you, man. Who's your favorite person to follow on Instagram?
On Instagram, I have to go with, I'm a Wilco freak, so I have to go with Jeff Tweedy and Wilco.
All right, man.
I'm all in with Wilco, man.
All right, man. Awesome. Well, thank you for being on the show tonight. It was an absolute pleasure, dude.
Yeah, thank you so much. And hey, we're in Chicago. I'm going to buy you a beer.
Yeah, man, anytime. So, thank you to all the listeners out there for spending a little bit of time with the two of us. We both hope your unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday evening to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. Have a great night, everybody. I love you guys.
In many forms, many shapes and sizes, you accept my flaws, you see me through it all. easy, but sadly in my nature to take risks and look for danger. I could never help myself, pretended I was someone else. I couldn't see past my own lies as you stood up to defy hell. You're my ring guitar, steady and faithful. You're my superstar, never run hateful. You're my ring guitar, my sweet ring guitar. You're my ring guitar, my sweet ring guitar. And many walls, like the clouds, you're gentle. Hold me when I cry and tremble. You're the love and hope I didn't always know I needed. You propped up my weak side. I'm glad I never left you behind. I could never help myself, pretended I was someone else. As you stood up to defy him. You're my rain guitar, steady and faithful. You're my superstar, never run hateful. You're my rain guitar, my sweet rain guitar. You're my rain guitar.
For listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.